The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver. Put some attitude between your ears with Peter Boyles on News Talk 710, KNUS.
Good morning, everyone. It's 8 a.m. straight up on a big day, big night, Tuesday. The debate will be carried here live at 7 o'clock on 710 KNUS, September the 29th, 2020. Good old 710 KNUS. 80 will be the high today. Sunny and warmer and sunny and pleasant tomorrow, 77 Thursday. 72 degrees, waiting for Paul Kengor. Our web for the radio station, 710KNUS/Peter Boyles. The pictures from the honor run that we did on Sunday, the motorcycle run, and the new column from the Cherry Creek Chronicle entitled One Ring to Rule Them All, Jared Polis as the Lord of the Rings. We're waiting for Paul Kengor. Tonight's the night, and Biden and Trump preparing to debate. As this continues, I keep coming back to boxing, and I believe that across the country that Donald Trump is down on the cards. And tonight he has to put it on. He has to put the show on tonight. He has to drop Joe Biden like a bad habit. Is there to go? Without further ado, I'm such a fan. We have some time with him this morning from Grove City College. He's PhD professor Paul Kengor. Hey, man, I think about you a lot. Paul, welcome back, and welcome back to 710.
Yeah, always good to be with you, Pete. Thanks. One of my favorite shows.
Yeah, I'm just a fan. Ronald Reagan's name came up this morning. We were talking about debates, and I'm just finishing Dalek's book, An Unfinished Life, about Jack Kennedy, and they focus a lot on the Kennedy-Nixon debate, and I remember it so well, and that was the first, according to Dalek, that was the first debate that people, you know, that was carried and people saw it. And I think it was the first debate. But people that watched it on TV believe Jack Kennedy won. People that listened to it on the radio believe Richard Nixon won. It's all in how you see it. So let's start there. That was a turner, what happened in that debate.
Yeah, it sure was. And Dalek, who would later on write a book on Ronald Reagan as well, complimentary book on Ronald Reagan, which is speaks well of Dalek as a liberal historian, but a very fair historian. And, yeah, that 1960 presidential debate, and I've gone back and I've read the transcript, Pete, and you'd have to say that Nixon won. It's just on substance, but yeah, it was the first sort of TV debate, TV personality, and Nixon that day literally walked out of his car, got out of the limousine or whatever it was, and banged his knee off the side of the car. And he had a temperature, he had a fever, he wasn't feeling well. And as one of the Kennedy historians, I think it's Richard Reeves, reports, Kennedy had just finished off with a prostitute in a hotel room upstairs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, he had put him in such a chipper mood and, you know, so vigorous. He said, we need to line up a girl for me before every debate.
I was mentioning earlier in the week when President Trump talked about, you know, drug testing Joe Biden, I said there was a doctor named Max Jacobson, who they called Miracle Max or oftentimes Dr. Feelgood. Talk about him for a minute, because I'm a fan. I read that book about him, and he shot them all. He kept them all up, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And in fact, JFK reprimanded a couple of his advisors. He said, damn it, they make me feel better, and I'm going to take them, right? And a part of that, too, in Kennedy's defense, I mean, the guy suffered from Addison's disease.
He was beat.
He was in pretty bad shape.
Yes, he was.
Jack Kennedy actually had, I think Richard Reeves reports this as well in his biography of Kennedy, he actually had last rites read to him five different times in his lifetime. Yeah. I mean, all before Lee Harvey Oswald shot him, November 22nd, 1963. So he was, and LBJ referred to him as that skinny little kid with rickets, as he put it.
In Dalek's book, he quotes Bobby Kennedy. Bobby Kennedy says, "A mosquito bites my brother, the mosquito dies."
Oh, wow.
That's a great line.
And I mean, he was, if it wasn't for the cortisone shot that he took for his back, he had a bad back when he sat in the Oval Office. He had to sit in a rocking chair. By the way, this is all so unusual, too, because he was known as this young, vigorous president, right? The youngest president. But he was probably in worse shape than Eisenhower.
He was
probably in worse shape than William Howard Taft, who weighed like 360 pounds. Yeah. I mean, Kennedy's old man, who, of course, pulled so many strings for him in so many ways and ghost wrote books for him and helped him cheat to get into the Senate and everything else. But one of the really heroic things about Kennedy is his old man had to pull strings to get him into the military because the military would have denied him because of his physical condition. And then he went into the military, had really heroic service, swam for like 5 to 6 miles to rescue guys from his PT boat, PT-109. And so he was constantly in pain, and if it wasn't for the cortisone shots that he took for his back, that actually puffed him up a little bit and probably made him better looking. Otherwise, he would have been this kind of really skinny, scrawny, emaciated looking guy who probably wouldn't have looked physically fit for the presidency, even though he was 42, 43 years old when he was running in 1960.
42. Professor Paul Kengor is our guest. I love his work. People talk about elections being stolen. I'm one of the people that, where I grew up, and I know where you and I share that. And when they got to West Virginia in the primary, and his opponent wasn't Lyndon Johnson, his opponent was Hubert Humphrey, and that was the test: could a Roman Catholic win? And according to other things I've read, including, I met the Giancanas, so this is just some of the sources. They did a book called Double Cross that I really recommend to people. It's a sleeper book, but they got to win West Virginia. They got to prove that a Roman Catholic can win West Virginia. So the outfit in Chicago that controlled the dirty unions, the dirty cops, all the balloting in West Virginia, and they threw the primary, not the presidential, but they threw the primary. And Jack Kennedy, the Roman Catholic, beats Hubert Humphrey, never turns his back after that. And that was the first time the outfit, they didn't call it the mafia, they called it the outfit. That's the first time the outfit goes to work for, and it runs through Joe, through the ambassador.
Right.
And then they turn around again, and they do it in Chicago. And it's a combination of the mob and Dick Daley, and they bring in Cook County. And I personally believe, and although big deal what I believe that they stole that election from Nixon.
Oh, I do too. I do too. In fact, Pete, you'll find this interesting. I had a professor in graduate school at American University in Washington, and this guy was a total 60s, literal Berkeley liberal. Had us learning about the Frankfurt School, right, day in class.
There you go.
Yeah, and he was very partisan, and he really shocked me one day. When he would say Nixon, he would almost spit when he would say Nixon, right? Nixon, and he said, "But I will always have a soft spot in my heart for Nixon on one thing: that Kennedy stole that election from him." I almost fell out of my chair, and I even went up and I talked to him after class, and he said, "Oh yeah," he said, "I hate Nixon, but the Kennedy stole that election.
They
did it in Chicago." And, I mean, I think that the final total vote difference nationwide was, about 110,000 votes?
Not many.
And he probably won Chicago by 400,000, and probably, half those were dead people.
And then you switch over. Lone Star Rising, when they called him Landslide Lyndon. Why was he called Landslide Lyndon? And they said,
"That's right.
All these dead Latinos voting in alphabetical order."
Wow, amazing.
Duval County, man, the Duke of Duval. His name was,
The old man Kennedy, too, they had rigged it. I think it was his congressional race where they literally, I think they, whoever the opponent was, if I have this right, because you were going to vote like Irish Catholic or Italian Catholic, right? And so I think didn't they get another guy literally from a phone book who had the same last name as the other guy, like, instead of Sean O'Malley, it was Sam O'Malley, right? So it said S. O'Malley and S. O'Malley, and they both split the Irish vote or the Italian vote or whatever it was, and Jack got the rest. So he got in with like 30% of the vote or whatever.
Oh,
that's
cool.
The kind of thing that the old man did.
Oh, yeah. And then they had his grandfather, one of my true favorites, Honey Fitz. And there's great stories. Honey, it's my favorite one. Honey's running. It's a Great American Depression. He goes down to coal yard in Southie, and they load up a coal truck. There are many people written about this. And Honey rides around Southie in a coal truck full of coal. And people say, where are you going, Honey? And he said, I'm taking coal to the poor. And at the end of the afternoon, he'd drive the full coal truck back into the coal yard. He was like, he was a great, he was another one. That's where the, that's where Jack gets his name, is Honey Fitzgerald. And
Those guys,
they were great. I mean, they were like, they were the guys I watched in Pittsburgh growing up, you know, and you later watched. And, you know, I swear those voting machines in Allegheny County, you could not vote for a Republican if you wanted to.
Right. Well, and also in those days, too, I mean, the Democrats like Kennedy, they were solid anti-communists.
Oh, yeah. Oh, big time.
Yeah, that's something people forget. Yeah. And also, liberals want to forget this, but the Kennedys were very tight with Joe McCarthy.
Well, his sister, he dated Eunice, or dated one of the girls.
He did?
Yeah, he actually dated
one of the Kennedy girls. He would hang out at the Kennedy compound in Hyannisport. And Bobby Kennedy worked.
Hunted witches.
Yeah.
Now in the end, he meets Nixon. I mean, I love all this stuff because maybe that's why I love you having a show. Paul Kengor's here. But Jack Kennedy says to his dad, hey, this guy, young congressman out here in California, send him some money. And he sends it to Nixon.
Mm-hmm. And against Helen Gahagan Douglas.
There you go. The Pink Lady.
Yeah, they crossed party lines. They said, hey, Dick, beat that commie,
beat
that pinko. And in fact, this is something we really ought to note. Jack Kennedy and Nixon were good friends.
Oh, absolutely.
They were very good friends. And Nixon even visited Kennedy on one of his deathbeds, when I think he was in the Senate, and came out crying, saying, poor Jack, poor young Jack.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
That young man is going to die. And there's a moment when I think Nixon visits Kennedy in the Oval Office after the defeat, and it was probably 61-62, and Kennedy says to him something like, hey, you want this effing job,
right? Yeah.
You really want this job? Yeah, they got along great. And the Joe McCarthy point, too. Bobby Kennedy's oldest daughter, who I think is Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, the one who ran in Maryland for governor, her godfather is Joe McCarthy.
Yeah.
Irish Catholic, anti-communists, and McCarthy was Republican. Kennedy were Democrats, but they didn't care. I mean, they wanted to fight the commies.
Yep, Tail Gunner Joe, man, he was their guy. Tail Gunner was their guy, and Richard Nixon, even her underwear is pink. One of the great lines.
Yeah, that's right. Pink all the way down to her underwear.
I love having you on the show, Professor Paul Kengor. All right, so here we go. And then also the one when Reagan said about age, and he turned it on Mondale, and he said, I won't use the youth of Mondale. That was a turn point moment in the debate as well. Talk about that.
It was. And by the way, I got to add here, too, we're talking about West Virginia going for Kennedy and then basically sealing the election for Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
Here we are in the year 2020, so this is, 60 years later, and West Virginia, which is still heavily Democrat, is going to vote for Trump probably 75-25.
Coal mines.
And I mean that's about what it was for Trump over Hillary in West Virginia.
I told you that story. So, I should have told you, come to Cleveland. We covered the we were sent by the radio station, myself and my colleague Chuck Monowell and Mark Crowley. We went to Cleveland. This is honest to God true story.
And 2016?
Yeah, and we're in Cleveland. Yeah. And, growing up in Pittsburgh, that was the hated place, was Cleveland. And I'm walking around this Coliseum place, and here comes four guys. I'm telling you, Paul, they got on like sort of double knit leisure suits, but they're wearing their hard hats. They're wearing their with the lamps and the battery packs, and they're all beat up, and they got union stickers on them and stuff. And I said, man, I said, those are real hunkies. And I walk over to the guy. I said, where are you from? You know, give him the line, where are you from?
Right.
And he looked
at
me, and he said they were from, like, Logan County, West Virginia. They were coal miners. They weren't, like, the, quote, union official. They were legitimate coal miners. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the moments for me that they had the hats on, are all nicked up and beat up, and, the United Mine Workers stickers on their hats and stuff. And I'm going, they were here for Donald Trump. I said, something's going on.
Yeah.
That was
well, and Trump is their guy. I mean, Trump has spied China. You know, renegotated NAFTA, you know, the fracking industry, and Biden and Harris. I mean, Kamala Harris said right out that she would ban fracking if she was president of the United States.
We talked about it earlier. Yeah. And when Donald Trump makes us energy independent, which allows for all the stuff in the Middle East that we won't get any credit for, but we get away from these Middle Eastern multinational oil companies, and we have John Hickenlooper, who's running here, who is all in fracking. They don't understand our foreign policy changes because Donald Trump makes us energy independent. What do you do with that, Paul?
Yeah, that's right. So totally energy independent from the Middle East and also from Venezuela.
Absolutely.
As well. And so, I mean, right now, America can be completely self-sustaining with oil and natural gas strictly through hydraulic fracking. And I don't know if you know about this, but out in the Beaver Valley, where, you know, Joe Namath, Pistol Pete Maravich, all of those guys, that area, I mean, they are building, Shell Chemical is building what they call a cracker plant. That is that some say is the largest construction project going on in all of North America right now.
Wow.
It's going to employ at least 5,000 people. Manaca.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know right where that is. Sure, of course.
Yeah, yeah, and so I mean, all those jobs, and that's Mike Ditka territory. All those jobs that left in the 70s, tens of thousands of them. And now they're looking at building a 5,000-job cracker plant. And imagine what that does for supplier industries, too, and for the local economy. And all of those guys, you know, those guys are still, by and large, they're union Democrats, they're registered Democrats, but they're all voting for Trump. And so I mean, if Trump wins Pennsylvania, which I actually think he will, Pete, it'll be because of Western Pennsylvania. And it'll be because of the fracking industry, which is responsible for tens of thousands of jobs in Western Pennsylvania, throughout the state of Pennsylvania, and also in Eastern Ohio as well, and down into West Virginia.
Our guest, the one and only Paul Kengor, I am a big fan from Grove City College, has been on the show with us for years. All right, I'm worried. Tonight they get into the ring together. These are people, these guys don't like each other, legitimately. I mean, I always liked that moment where Tip O'Neill would go over and see Reagan, and they sit on the Truman balcony, a couple old Irishmen, and you know, and work things out. That it's never going to happen. I'm sweating it big. I'm being honest with you. Donald Trump is back on the cards. You know, the polling data. Unless you know, I don't know. As I said, this is the deep state versus Donald Trump. He's fighting the media, music, Hollywood, professional sports, academia, corporate America. He's fighting everybody. What does he need to do tonight? And I want to—I got a follow-up question that's unrelated to that. But what has to happen tonight?
Well, if I was you, I wouldn't sweat this. I think it's Biden supporters that need to sweat this. Trump is going to be fine. And by the way, these two guys will get along. They really will. And I don't pick. I mean, Biden is snarky. He can be a backstabber. I could tell you stories about that.
Oh, man.
But at least his literal kind of public face, he's probably going to be smiling a lot. I mean, the people that need to worry are Biden supporters that he won't say something stupid,
I agree.
A major gap.
I agree.
He's almost certainly going to say something like 200 million people have died from COVID, right?
Oh,
I mean, he's said that now several times.
Yeah.
So I mean, the big fear here is that, and in fact, you mentioned the Reagan-Mondale quote from the 84 debate when Reagan's age was a concern to a lot of the electorate. I mean, Biden's way beyond Reagan in age and also those concerns.
Yeah.
So it's the Biden people that need to worry that he's not going to do something really stupid, that quite literally his teeth don't fall out or something really embarrassing. And I don't think Trump will lose any ground at all.
I want you to be so right. I mean, I've never sweated one like this because this morning I'm a big fan of Pat Buchanan's. Boy, Buchanan did just an incredible piece, as he does. And I read you, I wish I was this smart. Americans are facing an imminent presidential election more crucial to their freedom and well-being than perhaps any election in nation's history. And so he said it's become a total charade, a farce, a massive pretense. And I don't know why. I mean, I am just so worried about this because I'm not in your league, but as a history reader, The question I wanted to talk to you about was, are these people, are they Fabians? Let me read you again from Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Biden is simply a smiling, soon-to-be-discarded Trojan horse inside which impatiently wait. The radicals, socialist, Marxist revolutionaries will burst out, rule America should the Biden ticket prevail. That's my fear.
Yeah.
That's my fear.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say Trojan horse before Pat did.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's exactly the concern. So they take the old guy who has this reputation of being a moderate Democrat, whether that's deserved or not. By the way, he was more moderate about 4 or 5 years ago, but they've kept pushing the guy to the left. And you know, he's now kind of almost no turning back. And, yeah, I mean, it would really be, I think this would be Harris.
Yeah,
and the hard left running the show, and look now with these court picks. I mean, the difference that you would have gotten with a Hillary Clinton over with the three last court picks with Amy Coney Barrett and Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. I hope this comes up tonight too, Pete. And if not, Donald Trump, this is what a smart debater does. He should inject it into the conversation. They need to pin Biden down on where he stands on packing the court.
Yeah.
Because I've got conservative friends who still don't like Donald Trump, and if they hear that electing Biden not only would jeopardize future court picks like, you know, the three that we just got under Trump, but the liberals could come in and add three or four seats.
Well, Roosevelt.
That alone is reason for saying no, you can't have. And it's typical of liberals too that when they don't get their way, they have to change the rules.
Well, FDR tried to pack the court when they were turning back the recovery acts. And I don't know if any rational human being would go, okay, sure, add some justices. But then I say rational human being. Let me do this. I was going to do a short segment, but I want to keep you longer if you got the time.
I'm good at the bottom of the hour.
Okay, Billy, why don't we stay 3-4 minutes and then break, and then we'll keep Paul. Paul Kengor's here. Are these people Fabians? I certainly believe that many of these people out there minor themselves as sort of Bolsheviks or Red Guard. We both are Solzhenitsyn fans, and in 200 years in Solzhenitsyn writes, it was the cops leading up to the October Revolution that they all focused on the cops, and we're seeing it again. Paul, who are these people?
Well, that's a good question. And Fabians, Bolsheviks, wow. I mean, look, I could tell you that the Bernie crowd, Bernie was permanent revolution, right?
Right.
I mean, the party that he supported in 1980 and 1984 as a literal formal presidential elector was the Socialist Workers Party.
You bet. They were Trotskyists.
That's right. Yeah. If you Google Socialist Workers Party, what'll pop up right away is, you have parentheses, Trotskyists, Socialist Workers Party.
You bet.
And Bernie uses that phrase, revolution, all the time, permanent revolution. So for them, you know, it's quite literally just that. The revolution never stops. You know, you never give up. You keep pushing on. You keep moving forward, right? In fact, that's a common word, too, among the socialist left, forward. When Barack Obama used a slogan in 2020, in 2008, the slogan was hope and change. And then in 2012, it was, 2012, it was forward. I mean, that is, that's a slogan of the old left.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the Italian socialist publication is called Avanti, which means
advanced.
Forward.
Right.
So I think some of them are Fabian socialists. I don't know what somebody like AOC and Ilhan Omar. I mean, I know what they are. Well, they're Democratic Socialists of America. They're members of the DSA, DSA.org, which calls itself the largest socialist organization in the United States. Which now, I just had to check this morning, Pete. They now have 55,000 members.
Yeah.
And Communist Party USA has 5,000 members. So
they're too weak.
Socialists of America.
The old CP is too. It's too straight. You know, it really is. I mean, they are. That's amazing.
It really is. That's the old guard. The new guard, where everything's happening. That's the DSA, and one other group too, Revolutionary Communist Party USA, which is run by this crazy guy named Bob Avakian.
They
call him Chairman Bob.
Yeah.
That's the group that came out a few weeks ago and endorsed Biden for president. And I remember I got emails on that from people, I guess three or four, right whenever it happened. Hey, look, the head of a communist party endorses Biden. And I thought, CPUSA is not going to explicitly do that. I mean, they do it in their publications. And I clicked it, and there it was. It was Revolutionary Communist Party USA.
Yeah.
You know, that group, they agitate according to race.
Yeah.
That's their big thing, race. So, you know, that's, you know, those kind of hardcore revolutionaries are out there. And, of course, we're seeing them in the streets with the protest movement, you know, people with hammers and sickles. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and even some of the Black Lives Matter crowd, which, you know, they're supposed to be about police reform. But, you know, as the founder, Patrice Culler, said, we spent a year reading everything, Marx, Lenin to Mao, and we are trained Marxist organizers.
But that's what Solzhenitsyn, you know, geek out, one of these days. But Solzhenitsyn said it was the cops that led up to the October Revolution, that they focused on the cops, the brutality of the cops, and they would never end on the cops. And this is the beauty of having you. It's all been done before.
It has, yeah.
Our leaders,
there's truly nothing new under the sun.
No, the left
has been doing this for 100 years.
So leave me with something. I'm so worried, Paul. I swear to you. I mean, I am so worried that.
All right, I'll leave you with this prediction.
Right, okay.
But after the Amy Coney Barrett nomination on Saturday, and after the debate tonight, the polling numbers that you're going to see coming in at the end of this week is going to have Trump dead even with Biden.
Well, I sure hope.
Across the board,
you're
probably 47-47. Or 46-46.
He's got to hit
Trump's always going to have a hard time getting over 46-47, but the pick of Amy Coney Barrett is just gigantic, especially for faithful Roman Catholics.
I always say, like I sound like in that movie Casino, but back home, I still have all my pals and everybody, and we were going to do a reunion, but we can't do it now because of the COVID travel. But when they put up this Irish Catholic girl, poof. It was like it was like Jack Kennedy in 60.
The Catholic vote in 2016 went for Trump 52-45.
God, I want you to be right. I'm sweating rocks. I really
dead
am.
Even by the end of this week. Watch.
Paul will talk. Thank you. I mean, someday, man. Someday we go hang.
You got it.
I was going to see you in October when I was going to Pittsburgh, and we're not going to go now. So
I know.
All right, pal. Thank you. All right.
All right. Take care.
303-696-1971. God, I want these guys to be right. September's Healthy Aging Month. I'm going to see Dr. McCallum today. When you walk in the room, and do a Joe Biden. No, Peter, quit it. My birthday is next month. Dr. Julie McCallum, Synergenics changed my life. She'll do the same for you. Aging should be celebrated and embraced. You want to take control of your cognitive and physical health? Synergenics is the place for you. Call this number. 720-387-3681. 720-387-3681. 720-387-3681. The website's denver.cenogenics.com. And Jackie answers the phone, arrange a free 20-minute phone call. The woman will talk to you for 20 minutes for free. Change your life. 720-387-3681.
Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
Well, lines are wide open. First time in, I don't know, 8:32, 28 before the hour, 303-696-1971. I want to be so wrong on the day after that election, say, man, Donald Trump president-elect, again, that second term, I want it so badly, and I'm worried that it won't be there. It's a Tuesday morning, 80 will be the high, 77 tomorrow. You're watching tonight, what are you looking for? We'll have a lot of people with us tomorrow. Boy, Ken Gore is the best. God, I love having him on the show. If you're wanting to finish your basement, remodel your kitchen, or simply make some upgrades, now's the time. American Financing. Mortgage rates are incredibly low, and the equity you have in your home, you can make significant changes and have a manageable monthly payment, especially when you choose American Financing. I love American Financing. They did the job for me. Mortgage consultants, they go through all of the options with you, never pressure, never any upfront money. They take pride in finding the best deal for you and the situation you're in and doing what it takes to achieve your goals. So you simply apply online, complete your mortgage app anytime, day or night. If you need help, you can chat on a mortgage with a consultant by calling 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000, AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. It really works, and it'll work for you. Save money every month. Say over time, wow, 303-695-7000. So tonight's the night. I like what Buchanan says. Facing an imminent presidential election more critical to your freedom and well-being than any election in the nation's history. God, is that true? All right, we go to Craig on one. Craig, you're on a radio show. Good morning.
Good morning, Pete.
Hey, man.
Hey, you know, just a little glimmer of hope, I think, is, you know, I think we all felt the same way 4 years ago when Trump ran against Hillary Clinton. I think we were somewhat shocked as the results came in toward the end of the, you know, the election results that night, and how happy most of us were that he won. But I think we all went into that election with a lot of trepidation, and I think the very same people that are supporting Biden right now are just leftovers from Hillary. So if the numbers are comparable, I think we might be good.
I want you to be right. So much has changed. Remember, Donald Trump's outside looking in. Now he's inside looking out. Running against Hillary, but you're not running against Joe Biden. This is the point that everybody tries to make. You're running against these people. I always say it's what lies beneath. And, you know, Joe's Joe, but it's the people who are with Joe. And
those of us that voted for Donald Trump the first time, we really didn't know what to expect. I think it was like, well, we know what Hillary's all about.
That was the point. We knew what Hillary was. According to political theorists, people vote more against someone than they vote for someone.
Considering all that Donald Trump has done as his time in office, hasn't he proven himself
to me, without a doubt,
man for the job?
We're not talking about what I think. We're talking about, I wrote this down last night when I was doing show prep. It's the deep state versus Donald Trump. And Donald Trump isn't just running against Joe Biden. He's running against the National Football League, the NBA. He's running against academia. He's running against big media. He's running against entertainment, Hollywood, corporate America, the music industry. He's running against the multinational corporations. That's who he's running against. It isn't like, okay, I got to beat Hillary Clinton, or Hillary Clinton needs to beat me. He is up against so many things that have gone on for him for 4 years, attacking him on all kinds of different levels, daily. I mean, Emmy Awards, and you and I discount these things, but they do, I think, in the greater picture, the greater scheme of things, they have meaning, not to you, not to me, but they have meaning. And it's going to be a tough one. Look, I want him, more than you'll know, I want this guy to win.
But what about, you know, do you still think the support that Bernie had, do they still go ahead and vote
sure.
for Biden?
Because they hate Donald Trump. It isn't that they love Joe Biden. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Let's throw in the other variable. The Democrats that think the Democrat Party's gone too far left, do they still vote for Biden?
They don't exist. I mean, you'll find people like Paul was talking about the people working in Western Pennsylvania, or guy sent me a thing about his union family, but you're rank and file Democrat. You're walking around Kennedy-esque Democrat. They're long gone. These guys, they can say that, but they hate Trump. I mean, hate him with a visceral hatred. I mean, I want you to be right. I want you to say, you know what, Donald, and I want to come on the radio show that next morning, if we know that soon, say, hey, great. Well, I'm sure glad I was wrong, but I sweat it.
Well, I do too, but I'm just hoping that, things haven't changed that much. I still think the Hillary element is now the Biden element.
Well, I'll tell you
what. I don't think it's grown that much more.
If that pandemic had not struck, you and I would not be having this conversation.
Well, don't we feel that there may have, this is conspiracy theory, the Democrats might have had something to do with that?
No. I mean, the plandemic and all this stuff, no. It's legit. It's where it came from, what it did, what it's doing. But it's been used. They have politicized it, and it's been used against Trump. And that's the point I'm making about the COVID. No matter what, if the sun can come up, and it'll be Donald Trump. If it rains, it's Donald Trump's fault. Fires in California are Donald Trump's fault. I mean, there's nothing that isn't Donald Trump's fault.
Well, yeah, they can say that, but those of us with half a brain know that's
but,
not true.
But I'm going to talk about you and I. You and I are like you and I. But I'm talking about the drumbeat. I mean, they went after Donald Trump before the guy was sworn in office. The guy, I mean, and he's getting that ring tonight. He's got to hit this guy so hard. You know, he's got to just hammer him. Because,
oh, I agree. I agree.
And if he goes in there and plays nicey and Joe sneaks away, then you've got a bigger problem. But you got to really, I mean, you got to knock this guy out. I mean,
well, I don't expect Trump to come in there with, you know, just tapping him on the on the shoulder.
No.
I think he's going to come in there with guns ablaze.
He's got to. I mean, he's got to come in, you know, looking like Joe Frazier, you know, knees pumping, hands moving. He's got to come in and hit this guy, hit him often, because one of the things we know from reading that the first night always is the big night. And then the next time they debate, and there's people that say if Trump really cleans his clock tonight, there won't be number two. They'll pull him out because he's ahead.
Right.
I don't know. You know, this is all, you know, it's like leading up to a Super Bowl. You know, we're talking about, well, you like this team and I like this team, and I'm the one that's worried about whether your team can win. Because my team, I'm worried about my team. And I see the people, and I'm talking about even locally, the Cory Gardner Hickenlooper. That's not good.
Well, as you've seen the support at the Trump rallies, have you seen any rallies where there was any enthusiasm at a Biden?
That's not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Again, you're weighing and measuring a moment in time, saying this is what it is. It's like the great line, you know, when you talk about statistics, there's a line that says all Indians walk single file because the ones that I saw did. You follow that? Because you saw one thing that makes it all universal. All Indians walk in single file because the Indians I saw did that. That doesn't make it all Indians. You'd be careful. Thank you. Good call.
Yep.
All right. Great selection of glasses. Our friend Alan Stackstack Optical. Alan's been in a local business here. It started with his dad 50 years ago. They continue to offer great personalized service and extraordinary care. If you have a difficult prescription, they can help you. All of our glasses, my glasses, Stack Optical, the motorcycle glasses, prescription ski goggles. We're talking about ski season coming, sunglasses, you name it. Stack Optical has it. They have an on-site lab that's perfect for any repairs, new lenses, a quick turnaround time. So get it all done, 2233 South Monaco Parkway. They know with everything going on, they're doing appointment only. This is so smart. Call Alan up at 303-321-1578, 303-321-1578. Online or stackoptical.com. They're easy to find. He's our guy, South Monaco and Evans. But it's locked down until your appointment. So you got 11 o'clock today or 11 o'clock tomorrow or 11 o'clock on Saturday. You pull up in a parking lot 5 to 11, get out of the car. They're there. They open the door, bring you in, shut the door. They go to work. And it's really cool because that way it's all, you know, they're all covered up for COVID and they do it right. Appointment only. You get there on time. You're on time. 303-321-1578, 2233 South Monaco Parkway, South Monaco and Evans. 6 days a week at Stack Optical.
Listen live at radio.com. The Peter Boyle Show.
Lines are jammed. It's Tuesday morning. Stefan this afternoon. A debate, 7 o'clock tonight, live here on 710 KNUS. We're back at you tomorrow morning. 80 today, 77 on Wednesday. Pull it all together. We'll go to the phones in a second. If Donald Trump really does well tonight and he tightens that gap up and then Comey Barrett takes him over, you know, then you have a fighting chance, and again, the boxer's chance, the puncher's chance. If he doesn't do well tonight, if it's a draw, or he pulls it out by a little bit, or it goes the other way, whichever Joe shows up. But if he can pull this, they talk about the 46% rule and the Mendoza line, and read these guys, they're political theorists, and they're right. If he can pull it to there, and Comey Barrett fares well, Paul Kengor brought that up, hey, he's got a puncher's chance. The chance. All right. Actually, on Thursday, we're going to go see these docs. And a lot of people you haven't seen for a long, long time, and now you want to see them, first time you see them in months. Advanced hair restoration and advanced FUE treatment will surprise all of them when you finally reconnect. But now, with a full head of hair, imagine it, because it's true. Address your balding, receding, and even thinning hair with the same one-day treatment. I'm doing this. Advanced Hair, I'm going to see them on Thursday for the first time. Advanced Hair helps younger folks, and please, I didn't start to lose my hair until much later in life, but if you're young, I know how it feels. They want to feel young, youthful again, and help women too. There's never been a better time, especially women going through this. Make sure you return back to a social work life more confident, more energetic, with a full head of hair. Join me. Schedule a free consultation calling 720-459-HAIR, 720-459-HAIR. Special financing, $250 off the top right now, 250 free hair grafts with advanced hair. You'll get then receive the highest standard of care well beyond CDC guidelines in this moment of time. So you can either do it, you can, in the time to come, reconnect with the people you love most, but your new hair is guaranteed to grow. This is legit. 720-459-HAIR, 720-459-HAIR. Just make the call or look at him, advancedhair.com, advancedhair.com. All right, we'll go to Don on two. I think he waited the longest. Don, we got about 6 minutes. Good morning. You're on the show.
Hi, Pete. Hey. To me, the chance between Trump and Biden is common sense. You had an earlier caller that was saying he was leaning towards Biden because Trump is because of feelings, mm-hmm. because he feels Trump's immature. He wants to see if he interrupts Biden tonight or, quote, is mean to him. That has nothing to do with the issues
yes,
or the results.
Does. Yes, it does. With love, perception yeah. perception is reality. I mean,
people shouldn't be voting on how they feel or if they dislike Trump.
Please.
This is a results-oriented position.
People,
it should be based on how he did in the
first understand,
term.
But you used the wrong word. Shoulda, coulda, woulda don't apply. It's like people looked at Ronald Reagan and found a father figure that they needed after Nixon and Carter and the rest of that stuff. And Ronald Reagan turned out to be the man. But it is there's more to voting. I would urge you to spend some time reading about behavior of voters. And you can say shoulda or coulda or woulda, but they're meaningless terms.
Yeah, if Biden wins, the people will get the government they deserve.
Well, that's always
socialism,
been said. Well, again,
communism, Marxism,
I
totalitarianism.
I know.
And, yeah.
I mean,
those who vote for Biden shouldn't complain then, later.
Well, believe me, why? How do you think all of this happened? These people, and again, I come back to the line I wrote down to myself this morning. This is Donald Trump versus the deep state. Do you believe that?
Yes.
All right. Having said that, coming out of the box, they've been after this guy before he was sworn in to knock him down like they have. And, you know, he's made mistakes. He hasn't helped himself. But at the same time, I like what Pat Buchanan says. What's at stake? This is perhaps the most critical election in our nation's history. I agree. Do you?
Well, at least since the 1860 election.
Yeah, 1860 was a Civil War setup. Yeah, you're right. But so what do you do with this? I mean, the entire mainstream media, Hollywood, corporate America, professional sports, all these influencers, they loathe Donald Trump.
People have to be smart. They have to make up their own mind based on the results.
You're using those words again, like shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Yeah, common sense.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda. But here's tonight. What needs to happen tonight in that ring? Because that's what it is. It's a ring. What needs to happen?
I think Trump has to have like 6 or 7 talking points about, one, Biden has been in government public service for over 45 years. He was vice president for 8 years. He didn't get anything done during those two times. Why has anything changed?
Coming up on time, here's what needs to... Donald Trump needs to buckle his knees tonight. Forget, you know, all the maturations and all the this, that. You know, Donald Trump needs to get in there and buckle his knees. He needs to hit him. He needs to contact him. He needs to rough him up. He needs to thumb him. He needs to dirty box him. He needs to knock him around so people in the middle go, damn, I don't want that. That guy? No, I'm sticking with Trump. And that's what needs to happen.
I think he needs to also hit the way the riots in the streets.
All of it. That's all part of it.
All,
Don, all part of the same thing. He needs to buckle his knees. He needs to hit him, needs to cut him, needs to hit him really, really hard. And there are people that believe, and it may be true, that there won't be 2 and 3, the first round. But this is the big night. There's no big event tonight. Most of America will probably be watching this. This is the ratings getter tonight.
I agree.
All right, man. Good. Very good
call.
Thank you. Everybody, this is great stuff. Worry about it. Worry about it. Donald Trump, Joe Biden, prepare to debate tonight. Stefan leads it in tonight on his show, and we'll be back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. And again, I want Donald Trump to win more than you'll ever know. but I sweat the outcome of this. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, doesn't matter. What other some other fool does, it's what happens tonight. That's important. Billy Thorpe, thank you. I'll see everybody tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. First place to talk in the city. Thanks.
Just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet.